This is just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Preaching on the names of God. What a wonderful topic. And isn't it wonderful that you and I can know God on a one-to-one relationship? You don't need anyone in between you and God. It really is between you and Him. And all someone like me can do is just share something of my nearly 40 years as someone who's been saved, and just hopefully in something will just stir something up within you. But for me, this is a joy. This is a privilege. I love God's word. I love His church. Those I know of you, I love. Okay, I'm sure the ones I don't know, if I got to know you, I'd love you as well. So this is just a wonderful time. And if I'm honest, I'm a bit spoilt for choice, because Martin has said you can kind of just choose any name you like. So we had Steve talking about Yahweh, Jehovah. Isn't it wonderful to understand it's exactly the same thing? It's just in Greek and Latin, or Latin and Greek. Yahweh's the Greek, Cole, is it just Hebrew? Thank you. Jehovah's the Latin. It's good to get that cleared up after 40 years, isn't it? So that... And Steve, in his introduction, was saying, you know, these other names that I'm going to go through, they're just a way of understanding a little bit more what God is like. And then we had Billy chose Jehovah Sikenu, the Lord our righteousness, last week. Oh, that's a good one. So the choices I've got, or some of the choices, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide for you. Oh, hallelujah. I'll just say it again. The Lord will provide for you. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Nissi, and this is the one I'm going to talk on. The Lord is our banner. Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies us. He makes us holy. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd. So I spoiled for choice. Any of those would be wonderful to talk about. I'll be honest with you, the second favorite, which I'd have loved to talk about, was Jehovah Rohi, the Lord who heals you. So if you want a personal one-to-one sermon on that, you need to come and see me afterwards, because I was itching to talk about that one, okay? Because the Lord can heal you. You can know healing in Jesus' name, okay? So very willing to do a one-to-one. I'm afraid I will end up praying for you as well, okay? Because I really do believe that God can bring healing into our lives. He's brought it into my life. So why? The Lord is our banner, I guess, because that's just a bit of a strange thing. What is God is a flag? That's a bit odd. But hopefully as we go through this morning, we'll start to build up an understanding. So the text where this God's name came up is in Exodus chapter 17, and I'm going to read verse 10 to 15. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. So I'll just give you a little bit of context before I do that. So Moses had led the people out of Israel. Remember that bit? Pharaoh, all of the plagues and everything that God demonstrated His power, and then eventually let the Israelites go. Going through the Red Sea, remember that bit? The waters coming back on Pharaoh's army. God had provided manna, quail, water. There was a pillar of smoke and fire leading them. And God's people had come to a place called Rephidim, where Moses struck a rock and water came out. And as they were there at Rephidim, a tribe came out called the Amalekites, who have the kind of dubious honor of being the first nation to come and attack the people of Israel. And so I'll start reading here. It says, Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. So I think this is the first time that Joshua is mentioned in the Bible. So he was just chosen to go and lead them. But as we know, Joshua was to become the leader after Moses. And he was going to take the people across the Jordan and capture the land where they were going to settle. And this was a very important lesson for Joshua. The strange way in which the battle was won left no doubt as to who was responsible for the victory. Only as Moses raised his hands and the staff of God did the Israelites prevail. The battle was not won by military might or superior battle plans. It was won by the power of God. And I think as we start to understand that banner is saying that basically as Moses raised up his hands, he was lifting his hands up in prayer. He was praying, he was lifting his hands, and it was as though the army was then fighting under God's banner within God's kingdom. So it's very similar, just as soldiers might hold up their flags at the time of battle, with maybe the insignia of their countries. You say the soldiers fight under that flag, under that banner. So it was with the Israelites. They fought under the banner, the flag of their God. And it was because of that that they had victory. And for Joshua, this was a very important lesson, because he was learning straight away that even if he was going to become a great soldier, a great warrior, he wasn't going to win his battles because of that ability, that competence. But it was God who was going to give him the victory. The reason you can see that the hands lifting up when other times when Moses was, all the miraculous signs were happening in Pharaoh. In Exodus 9 it says, as soon as I leave the city, I will lift my hands and pray to the Lord. For me, I spent a few happy hours going through all the times the staff of God was used, as if it was some like magic symbol. Okay, but it's quite interesting when you go through. Sometimes, in all those different plagues, etc., sometimes it's Moses' rod, sometimes it's Aaron's rod, sometimes there's no rod, sometimes Moses is throwing dust up in the air, sometimes he's just speaking. So I'm really convinced it's not the rod was anything particularly special, it was much more the connection with God and that Moses was praying. It'd probably be fair to say that Moses praying was winning the battle in an unseen spiritual realm, which was then reflected in the natural. And In Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. For me, it took a long, long time to recognize that I was in a battle. I'm a peace-loving person. I don't really like fighting. I certainly don't want to be in a war. If I'm honest, I'd rather make a peace treaty. Okay. But the bottom line is, by giving my life to Jesus, it seems like I made an enemy. And as I've gone on my walk with the Lord, I've come to understand that that is it. Whether I like it or not, I've made an enemy who doesn't fight by the Queensbury rules, okay, and who is basically wanting to destroy me, wants to destroy everything that I hold dear, and really doesn't care how he does it. Having accepted that I'm in a battle, I'd much rather if the Lord would just fight for me. That seems like a good solution. He's big and strong. Off you go. That's just, I give you permission to fight for me. I'll just kind of sit down here. I'll kind of stay back there. But as I read the scriptures, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around looking around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. And that stand firm, it sounds like something you have to do. Be strong in your faith, it sounds like something you have to do. James 4, verse 7, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Again, it sounds like something that you have to do. You have to resist the devil. And the more that I've read, God will help us, there seems to be a sense that he's not just going to do it for us. Not all the time, anyway. So my next thought is, well, if God's not going to do it for me, maybe the pastor could just step in here. And he says, I know what I'll do. I'll just send him lots of emails so he's very clear on all my prayer requests and the battles that are going on. That should do the trick. And if the pastor, maybe, well, I'm an elder now, so I can. I'll send an email to the other elders. They need to get fighting on my behalf. So I just tried to work this all through. But for me, the best I can see is whether we want to or not, or like it or not, each of us has to learn how to fight. Psalm 18, verse 33 to 35. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. He trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bow. You have given me your shield of victory. Your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great. So I'm probably a slow learner. Maybe you're all there before me. But whether we like it or not, we're in a battle. whether we like it or not, we probably have to learn how to fight ourselves. Ephesians 6, at the end, it talks about putting on the armor of God. And as we fight, we have to work out in a minute what we're fighting against. But we can do it for our own lives. We can do it for the lives of our families. And then we can see that Aaron and Hur, as Moses was praying, he got tired. They came and they supported his arms, and I'm sure they were praying as well. So there's a time where we can fight and we can come and stand along someone else. I love praying for people who are fighting themselves. Come and stand alongside them. Hold up their arms. Encourage them. I think there's a time as well where some people are so beaten down that they just can't fight at all. And for me, that's where you can stand in the gap for them. You can intercede for them. So there's kind of three kind of levels there: yourself, your family, standing with others who are fighting, and then in some circumstances, you really can just stand in the gap. And standing in the gap is, I've heard it, it's like if you imagine a wall around a city and there's a gap, okay, that's what you're doing. You're standing in the gap, okay, that's what you're doing, and you're praying for those people. You're praying against anything that will want to come into their lives. So what are we battling? I think when I was preaching last time, we were talking about fear and anxiety. And one of the big battlegrounds is our mind. It can take us all over the place, can't it? Thoughts come in, we can't get rid of them. We start thinking the worst, we get all fearful, anxious. So that's definitely one battleground. We've got the whole area of sin, of temptation. Just, again, I haven't written down the scripture, but something that helped me is sin is anything that goes against your conscience. Okay, so you're probably better off not trying to write down a list of things that are sins and are not, but just try and tune your heart into God. Because basically, if it goes against your conscience, what you feel God's saying to you, then it's a sin. Battle is all the things of this world. And I think these things, they're not just trying to be a distraction, but they're trying to take us down a path that's going to take us away from God. One thing, Janet and I were down seeing our parents, and Janet's dad is now in his 80s, and he's been a godly man. And I was just interested to hear him say that he was having to fight harder now than he's ever had to fight. I want to say, I love the young people. Young people, you have to fight as well. Do you know, I know what the enemy would love you to do is make some stupid decision that will mess you up for years and years to come. He would love that. Just something, take you somewhere, get you involved in something that would basically take you away from where you ought to be. Our children, we have to pray and protect our children. It took me ages just to twig on. The enemy really doesn't have any rules at all. He loves traumatic events, horrible things, because he'll want to make the absolute worst that he can make it. Take a bad thing and make it even worse. 1 thing I've noticed as well, this is a strange thing, but this place Rephidim where they were staying, it's called Cushions, or you can translate it Cushions, Beds, Refreshments, Places of Rest. And we sometimes, when we're at ease, we're at our most vulnerable. When we think everything's going fine, we can be less alert. So I want to encourage you, don't be deceived by your bank balance or how your job is going or how successful you think you are at the minute, because it can change very quickly. And I'm not praying that or prophesying that. I'm just saying don't be deceived by it. Don't take your ease. This is a strange thing for me as well. I found even holidays can be a time when you can get too at ease. Okay, when you go on holiday, you're not supposed to take a holiday from God. Okay, just a tip. Okay, because it's true. It's easy to do because you kind of just let it all hang out, so to speak. And you kind of think, well, I won't bother with my Bible. I'll give up praying and I'm take a holiday from that. And you can get caught unawares. So we're in a battle. The enemy's horrible. Need to learn how to fight. So for me, I much prefer to be a precious, pampered, comfortable, I'm going to say princess, but I'll say I don't know, just because that fits with more but a prince, do you know what I mean? I like silk and fine food. If you know me, one of my hobbies is luxury hotels and fine stuff. That's it. Somebody told me before the start that they'd heard Placido Domingo singing in the Vienna Opera House. Janet, I'll tell you who it was afterwards. That's me. I could manage. And if I'm honest, it's almost my Christian goal, or it was. You know, how can I pray to the place where I'm at ease and a pampered prince in my palace, listening to Placido Domingo in the Vienna Opera House, followed by a nice. But it's not. It shouldn't be my goal. I don't know about you. Have you got verses in the Bible that you wish weren't there? Anyone got those? Verses in the Bible where you get out 300 translations to try and find the one that can change the meaning sufficiently that you can understand it. So this is going to share with you one of my verses that I always felt like was a mistake. So it's 24, Proverbs 24, verse 10. It says, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? It just gets to me because I'm very good at faltering. And it just feels to me like I'm in the playground saying, you're the weedy one. Do you know what I mean? If you falter in times of trouble. And I don't know about you, but it doesn't take much to get me faltering. A broken washing machine is enough to get me faltering. Okay, a puncture in the tire. And I have to speak to myself, and I don't like this verse. If you falter in times of trouble. We've talked about this before. The reality is probably going to be a fruitless effort for you to start praying, Lord God, give me a completely trouble-free life. Sadly, I've tried for decades, and I think it's just a prayer that's not going to get answered. A prayer that is going to get answered is, God, don't let me falter in times of trouble. And for me, we talked a little bit about prayer and how that's part of fighting the enemy. For me, this faltering talks about you stand your ground. You stand your ground. Even when trouble comes, you stand your ground. So how do we fight? Part of the reason I don't want to fight is, can I tell you something funny now? You students will appreciate this. So I went to college and I wasn't saved, okay? And then I got saved in my second term. And then maybe a year later, some of the people in the Christian Union started speaking to me. And they said, well, we didn't want to come near to you because we thought you were going to beat us up, okay? So... okay. So I was slightly wild. I do recognize that. But I didn't realize I looked that ferocious. But I don't know how to fight. Cause, you know, when I, after a few years of being a Christian, I actually had to give up competitive sport because I concluded it was drawing on the wrong emotions, okay. Because in the natural, how do you fight? You have to get angry, don't you? You have to get motivated. You want to beat your opponent. And I couldn't work out how do you translate that into a godly fighting? So I had to give up competitive sport. If I'm honest, playing other Christians was the worst. If I'm honest with you, nothing worse than a cheating Christian in a game of squash. That's all I'm saying. Okay. That's all I'm saying. So how do you translate it? And for me, you're not trying to draw on anger. You're not trying to draw on a competitive thing. But it's something more about the love of God. So as I think of my family, it's because I love them that I'm going to fight for them. It's not because I'm angry with them or angry with anyone else. But it's this sense, I don't want them to be robbed of anything. For people in the church here, I love standing with you. And in a sense, I want to fight for you. Fight for you to have all that God wants for you. Not for anything to be stolen away. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I guess the question I have to ask is, so we understand we have trials and tribulations, and then sometimes we have to fight. So a difficult question is, when do you just have to sort of bear with the trial and tribulation, okay, and kind of just suck it up and go through it? Or when is it a kind of battle you should be fighting? So that's something else that I've struggled with. I guess the first thing was, I kind of came to the conclusion that it wasn't okay just to put up with everything that comes your way and bear with it. There must be some time when you're going to have to try and hold your ground and fight. And this is just me. But what I felt God saying is, I want you to fight more. I want you to fight more. I want you to pray more, basically. I want you to stand your ground. I want you not to accept things in your family. I want you not to accept things in the lives of people, even in this church. And for me, what I feel is if you start off there, sometimes I've started off fighting, but I've come to the place where God says, okay, you know, that's enough. You can back off. Now, you know, I'm in this situation, and it's almost, if to carry on praying the way I was praying, I'd almost be fighting God, because God was working out something in whoever I was praying for. So just for me, I'm facing more, let's fight. Because we can always back off, okay? Whereas if you're in the back off, let's just put up with whatever's going on, that's exactly what's going to happen. God will take you through it, but you know, you're not really praying, you're not really trying to change, you're not really trying to resist the enemy, you're kind of just letting it go, or you can do in that camp. So basically, fighting is praying, standing our ground, big topics in their own right for another day. As always, Jesus is our example. The one we want to become like by the work of the Spirit of God. Somehow Jesus was gentle yet powerful. He was someone who was meek yet strong. And someone who never moved from the ground they stood on. And someone who was deeply compassionate for those around him. An interesting verse for me is the commissioning of the prophet Ezekiel. So I'm reading from Ezekiel, verses 3, 8 to 10. But look, I have made you as obstinate and as hard-hearted as they are. I have made your forehead as hard as the hardest rock. So don't be afraid of them or fear their angry looks, even though they are rebels. Then he added, son of man, let all my words sink deep into your own heart first. Listen to them carefully for yourself. So that last sentence makes it clear that God doesn't want Ezekiel to be hard-hearted towards God and his word, but he wants him to be hard-hearted to all the attacks, deception, lies of those around him. His forehead is so strong that it smashes every lie, every deceit. So that's something of a prayer I want. It's kind of toughen up, Wendy's. Okay. When I was in the rugby team, they always used to call us by our surnames in our school. So it was, Wendy's, tackle someone. Do something useful. So toughen up a bit. I think for many of us, we may be surprised that the strength that will arise within us. Hebrews 12, verse 34 says, their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to the flight. And one last verse that's speaking to me is Jeremiah 20, verse 11. It says, but the Lord stands beside me like a great warrior. Before him my persecutors will stumble. They cannot defeat me. They will fail and be thoroughly humiliated. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. So Jeremiah, he felt as though the Lord stood beside him like a great warrior. And so the sense I get is God's not going to just go and fight the battle, But what he will do is come and stand right by our side as a great warrior. And even in my workplace, I have a sense of that. If someone's giving me a hard time, I have a sense of, I hope you know who you're messing with here. Okay, it's not because I'm going to do anything, but I have someone standing with me who kind of looks after me, and kind of you're in big trouble if you don't deal fairly with me. And I do have a sense of that. And I think all of us can have a sense of that more and more. But in a sense, we have to be prepared to go into the battle. In a sense, we have to be prepared to fight, because then we'll know that we have a great warrior by our side. At the end of his life, Joshua's last words included the following. This is Joshua 24, verse 15. Choose this day whom you will serve. Whose banner, whose kingdom are you going to live under, you're going to fight under? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I hope that was okay. Jehovah Nissi. If we can fight under his banner, victory's assured. It's all about getting there, getting to the right place, being prepared to fight. In Jesus' name, amen.